No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me. Captain Keith is going to join us here in just a bit. So he says, via text, because he's running late. What are the odds? But I do have some ringers to help round out the Just Plane Radio crew today. Tom Haynes from AOPA. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm well, Greg. Great to be with you again. How's things?
Well, they're great now that I got you to back me up. I mean, if I was relying on Ed and Keith, I'd be up a creek. You know what I'm saying? But
where's your co-pilot when you need it?
That's right. But I have Tom Haynes. I got Big Gun there. And also Captain Dennis. Is with me as well. So we'll manage, I think, quite well. We'll be able to navigate, you know, through the clouds that are billowing up in front of us here. And then right. By the time Keith gets here, and he'll hopefully be able to steer us out of a steep descent. I don't know. We'll see.
But those flight instructors are so overrated anyhow.
I'm telling you what. That is so true. And we can say that because he's not here to smack me upside the head. But, he'll be with us here momentarily, I'm sure. But, look, we got a lot of stuff to navigate today as far as the aviation news and information. But first, before we get into the news type of stuff, political nonsense and all that kind of thing, we got to talk about this eclipse. This was absolutely huge for general aviation last week. Would you agree, Tom?
I would. It was huge, as someone once said.
It was
a really big deal. I mean, way bigger than I thought it was going to be. We started talking about this about a year ago, I guess, and it started showing up on some aviation forums and blogs, people talking about flying out to places, and we started to pay attention to it and started to put some content out there reminding people about, you know, what the path of totality was and the airports along the way. We published a list a few months ago about all of the airports along the path, and wow, this whole thing really took off. We had airplanes all over the place. I was talking to some of our friends at FlightAware, you know, that tracks all the airplanes and displays a lot of flight data.
Right.
And I asked them for some information, and they gave me back a list of IFR only traffic coming in out of some 120 airports along the path of totality, and IFR traffic was up 60%. On Tuesday relative to the same period the week before. And that's IFR only,
right?
Which is all that they're capturing. So VFR traffic was much higher than that. We had teams all across the country, and most of them flying GA airplanes, and they were reporting, you know, four-hour wait out of trying to get out of Tripletree down in South Carolina and up in Madras in Oregon. Incredible waits for people trying to get out of there, too. So definitely a lot of GA activity.
I saw a thing on Facebook that said, flight following, forget about it. Are you nuts? Mm-hmm. No, sorry. We have none of that. Don't even bother asking.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty funny. So, but I was like, hey, that's a good sign. You know, people are taking their planes and using them to their maximum potential to view this eclipse thing.
Yeah, you know, the beauty of an airplane, of course, is, you know, you could plan on being a particular location. However, if the forecast suggests that there is going to be cloud cover there, you could always move somewhere else and find another location where you'd have better weather. And I think that's what some people were doing.
Yeah. What about you, Dennis? Did you take your new Mooney out there to watch the eclipse?
No, I didn't.
What?
But, I had work to do, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a four-letter word you're not supposed to use on Just Plane Radio.
It's a very anti-aviation word.
Yeah.
Work.
Okay, so work out of the way.
Our neighbor actually took his Bonanza and went down to Lebanon, Tennessee, and actually went down and back same day, and he said it was just chaos in the air. He showed us some screenshots off of Four Flight, showing just the sheer number of returns he was seeing on the ADS-B, and it was just amazing around these airports.
It was like flying into Air Venture or Sun and Fun or something.
But less coordinated.
Yeah. One of those Charlie Foxtrot kind of flying days, possibly.
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
But he tried going out to Casper, Wyoming, and called in ahead to the FBO, and they just said, do you already have a reservation? He said, no. Well, then don't even bother.
Go home.
They had 100 airplanes, you know, that they were planning on having come in.
Yeah.
And where he wound up going, they had more airplanes in the space for it. The people were in the grass and everywhere. It was just chaos.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to say, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but, you know, all this hype about the eclipse and stuff, you know, we're based in Orlando, Florida. I thought, hey, yeah, this would be good if you had a, you know, plan to fly your plane into the path and of totality or whatever the heck it is. And, you know, I was like, hey, it's the sun. I'm not really that jonesed about it. And I will tell you, it was raining about a half hour before we were supposed to have our viewing here in Orlando. And all of a sudden, the skies opened up, and it got real bright. And I was like, what the heck? I'll walk outside. And sure enough, the neighbors are, you know, in their driveway and like, hey, Greg, come over here. Put these glasses on. Check this out. And I looked, I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And so it kind of pleasantly surprised me. We saw a partial eclipse. We didn't get the full one. But it was more interesting than I thought. But for me, I was just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, go all that way to do something. I'm not so sure I was that, you know, excited about the prospect, but it ended up being a little bit more interesting than I probably gave it credit for. I mean, where do you fall in that spectrum there, Tom?
Well, you know, we had about 80% coverage here north of D.C. in Frederick, Maryland, where we are. And I agree with you, Greg. It wasn't all that interesting. I did go outside as a bunch of other staffers did, and we had the glasses. We're looking. It was cool to see. However, in talking to people who were there at the, you know, in the totality where it truly got dark,
right?
They were actually moved by it. So I wish I had gone to the trouble of doing that. And we actually did a pretty neat thing here. You can see out on Facebook and some other places, a photo shoot that a couple of our guys did, actually used my Bonanza as a photo platform out in southern Illinois. They went and shot an eclipse jet during the eclipse. So we actually have these photos taken in the dark during the totality, using a strobe to light the eclipse from my airplane. Hmm. And yeah, it's a pretty cool effect. You can see the, you know, just the halo of the eclipse up above the airplane. So it's pretty neat shot. So I think people who were, you know, in it like that were touched and moved by a lot more than those of us who were kind of further away from the center of it all.
Yes. I think this was like, you know, a $100 hamburger times 20. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I would have had access to an airplane and was doing my training actively, I probably would have made sure I was doing something, because that would have made it a little bit more of an interesting thing. But, you know, hey, we got another one coming up in, what, 2024 or something, I hear?
Yeah, 7 years.
So now that I know, you know, by then I'm going to be, you know, advanced super pilot, you know, acrobatic performer, you name it. So it'll be easy for me to do it by then. I'll have my Grand Caravan. I'll be able to fly wherever I need to. I think that one, when it's supposed to come up, like, through Texas and go from the southwest or something and move up north. So now we got a plan. Now we know what we got to, you know, prepare for. We got a few years to do it. So I'm looking forward to it. But it was very encouraging to see the activity that was taking place with all the general aviation pilots. I bet you felt the same way in that regard. Am I right, Tom?
Yeah, I did. It was really rewarding to see people out using their airplanes and, you know, enjoying it, taking people with them who may not normally travel with them, and getting to experience a really unique thing. So it was fun.
Absolutely. And, Dennis didn't take his plane, but I'm going to assume that Captain Keith, being that, well, at least he was, you know, he was late today. But I'm sure he took the time out to go view the eclipse from an airplane, from a general aviation airplane the other day, right, Keith?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And
I did.
You got a good view. Where were you?
I was right here in Orlando.
Well, were you in the plane?
I was.
So could you see better from the plane in Orlando, or would it have been the same as me looking out from the Just Plane Radio studio driveway?
In Orlando, it probably would have been just about the same if you would have been standing out here in the driveway.
Were you wearing the glasses flying the airplane? Isn't that illegal?
I was going to say, do you need a safety pilot?
Yeah.
Once you have the eclipse glasses?
Yeah, that's not.
I was by myself.
Are you night current?
I am now.
He got his night certification during the middle of the afternoon. Well, this past Monday.
There you go.
So, yeah, that begs a question. What is, you know, is night current actually apply? Because it's, you know, 1 hour before to 1 hour after and civil twilight and all that stuff.
Well, how many go around, how many touch and goes can you get done in, what, 2 minutes?
2.5 minutes.
Yeah, really.
Long runway?
Only one.
Only one. Keith got knocked out one, and then he did two after dusk. Is that what you did?
There you go.
Yeah, nice.
We'll go with that answer.
Okay, fair enough. I was like, how did he get his night certification for the month? Or, you know,
one bad landing on a long runway.
I was going really, really fast.
Hey, that was a good landing. Yeah. What are you talking about?
to
get night currency in one landing? Come
when
on.
When you're wearing those glasses, you look perfect, I'm sure. Yeah. No, did you put the glasses on for real in the cockpit while you were watching the guy? Were you letting someone else fly the plane? Here, you look, and then you change glasses?
I didn't let him look.
You say, stare directly in the sun. Oh, wait, no, it's not Greg. You don't do that.
No, I was actually out training a new instructor, so I had him flying the airplane, and I was watching the eclipse.
All right. So you burned your retinas out? And
no, I had proper viewing devices.
Okay, all right. All right, well, there you go. All right, we'll lecture.
I used a welding mask.
Oh, of course. That'd make you look cooler. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
All of a sudden, here comes my pilot, and oh, God. These guys are that cool, you just want to slug them. It's just not fair. They got the good hair, the good chin, they got that eyebrow that's always cocked. Nobody ever asks a pilot, what do you do for a living? Because they're like, what the hell do you think I do? Look at my eyebrow. And he is so cool. He goes, Bill, relax. I've been flying for 20 years and I've only had to eject 3 times. Everything went great.
You bragging about that?
He goes, I'm just kidding. I've never had to eject. Oh, lucky me, I got the funny pilot. What kind of sick joke is that?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith. Also, Dennis is with us, flying around with his new Mooney. And then from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes helping us out right now as well. Now, before we talk about some of the latest governmental news with a political spin to it, probably, it always ends up happening that way, we got to do some viewer mail that actually Dennis had something to do with this, right, Dennis? What's going on with it? Who was this guy, Matthew?
This was Matthew. He had reached out to you a couple of months ago, and he's a listener here in Minneapolis.
Right.
And was interested in learning to fly and wanted to talk to me about, you know, how to go about doing it, since somebody else is not a real reliable source.
Like who? What are you talking about?
That'd be the guy that's not gotten his pilot's license yet.
Keith, you didn't address that appropriately?
Oh, I'm sure I addressed it just fine.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, well, anyway, I got this email after they talked to each other. And it says, hey, Dennis.
We've been talking to you about that procrastination
stuff,
Greg. Yeah,
just quit it. So Dennis forwards me this email from Matthew, and he says, hey, Dennis, good to hear from you. I've been keeping up with the show. I heard about the new plane. Good. As for training, to make a long story short, I have to put mine on hold because flying lessons had to drop down the list because you know, our two-income household turned to one. So he puts in there, bummer. Understood, yeah. Money is money. However, recently there's been some good news. I have a friend who's flying an Endeavor, and we might share the ownership of an airplane in the future. So that's kind of cool. Let's see. He's working on closing on a piece of property, and we'll see how it goes. We're currently looking into options on the partnership. I've been working on some study ground school material in the meantime. Might be cool to talk to some more, or talk more about the cost of ownership of airplanes and going into the buying process a little bit more on the show to help him out. Understood. I like that. Overall progress is slow, but at least I'm moving faster than Greg. What the hell?
That's a fairly low threshold, too.
That's
okay.
Very low
well,
bar.
Thanks for that support, Tom. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll do my best to get in touch. Thanks for checking in. All right, fair enough. You know, talk amongst yourselves, Matthew, Dennis. If you have to use me as motivation or to keep you positive about your flight training, okay, I guess I've done my part. Yeah.
Well, I think we're starting to find out that the cost of ownership is, like, you know, you don't want to talk about it. It's just like Flight Club, you know. You really don't want to look at those numbers. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are definitely numbers you don't want to know too much about sometimes.
Well,
yeah, you just accept them and you move on and just enjoy the fact that you have the plane whenever you mm-hmm. want.
Well, hey, look, since you have owned your plane, Dennis, I got to say it has been absolutely painless for me, and I really support everything you've done and every dollar you've spent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well,
surprises that get you. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. All right. Some other stuff we got to cover that I know, Tom. You have your, you're checking the pulse of this like every other hour, it seems like, and that's that ATC privatization thing. What are you learning? What is the latest that you've been hearing about that stuff? Is it still kind of out there in the House of Representatives? Are they still pushing for this big time, or is it on in a lull, or what? What's going on?
Well, the good news is Congress is out of session right now, so they can't do too much damage. Mm-hmm. But they're coming back, as much as we might like them to just stay home.
Yeah.
But, right after Labor Day, the House will be back in session, and that's when we expect that H.R. 2997 will resurface again, and they'll start basically doing whip counts with members of the House to see whether they have the support to move this bill out of committee. It's already passed the committee. It would take our air traffic control system and hand it over to a nonprofit entity that would ultimately come under the control of the airlines and the airline affiliates. And that's a bad thing for general aviation. We've seen that around the world when privatization happens, the general aviation doesn't thrive. And so, therefore, we've been opposing it, and so far we've managed to keep it from moving to the House floor for a vote, but they are still working it, and the airlines are coming out big times with all kinds of ads in support of privatization, and so we're just battling that.
Hmm. But isn't it ironic that the Congressional Budget Office has actually come out with an updated study saying it's going to cost upwards of $90 billion just to transition it, and that's not counting any new modernization initiatives? I can see that money would be a lot better spent in just fixing what's wrong with the modernization effort instead of trying to convert it to a private entity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Was that on one of the checklist points that I saw AOPA put out this week, Tom?
It is. Yeah, we did put out a sort of what looks like kind of an emergency checklist, and it's really meant for pilots to download and have ready access for when they have these kind of conversations with their friends and neighbors and other pilots. It one side talks about why it is that we oppose privatization, and the other side gives basically solutions and ways to improve the current system and solve some of the issues that it has, including, you know, the FAA's ability to do sort of procurement in a manner that makes sense when you're buying technology and when you're strapped with traditional government means of buying stuff that can take years. That doesn't work when you're trying to invest in new technology. But there's plenty of ways to fix the current system without throwing it out completely and handing over, you know, billions of dollars worth of public assets to this private entity.
Yeah.
So now, my son has started college yesterday, and his first assignment was to read, you know, chapter one of the book. And in there, they were talking about the first air traffic control tower was actually founded and created by the airlines, and it was taken over by the government because it didn't work. It was restrictive and favored the airlines. So we already tried privatization once and failed and took it public, and now we want to reverse that decision. Didn't we learn our lesson the first time?
Well, what are the commercial airlines putting out as far as, you say, there's some commercials? Is that what they put out online, or are they bombarding the representatives with propaganda audio visual wise, or just
all of the above?
All of the above.
I mean, they're all over social media promoting the idea. All kinds of things. They've really kind of struck out twice, and they're working on the third time here. One is their initial argument in favor of privatization was that we needed to modernize the system.
And we
pointed out how, you know, the system is already way more modern, and a lot of the technology that exists, the airlines can't take advantage of because they've not invested in their airplanes. And then, a couple of other things out there also have caused them to fumble. So it's been a challenge for the airlines.
All right. Well, they're just trying to screw us. Let's be real, right? We'll leave it at that for now. We got more coming up, including AOPA fly-in info next.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed Dennis, and from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. And Tom, we got some fly-ins happening soon, as well as finishing the season in Tampa, which I think Ed and Keith have both committed to going to, so that means
excellent.
I get to go too, right,
that's
Keith?
Correct. Cool.
Yep. Yeah. So I look forward to finally getting out to one of those and having a big.
We'll look forward to seeing you there at the end of October. In the meantime, though, we do four of these regional fly-ins a year. Camarillo, California, was earlier this year. We got three coming up in the fall. September 8th and 9th, we're in Norman, Oklahoma. First weekend in October, we're at Groton, Connecticut. And the last weekend in October, we are, as you say, down in Tampa. But they're a lot of fun. And this year at Norman, we got some really interesting stuff at the National Weather Center. They have a huge storm prediction center in Norman, and we're going to have tours of that. So from a pilot standpoint, very interesting weather seminars and whatnot available at that facility. Very, very interesting place.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have people that are flying into every single one of these and like picking up like a poker card or something, and at the end of the season they'll, you know, play a game or something like that? Or
Actually, we don't do the poker run, but it's a great idea. There are certainly other flying clubs and that sort of thing that do poker runs. We haven't thought about that for our fly-ins, but, you know, Greg, that's a good idea.
Okay. All right. Or at least a T-shirt. You know, I went to all the fly-ins. I got a fly-in T-shirt, right, or something. Or bandana.
Yeah, good idea.
I don't know, something. Yeah, the first one was best probably, wasn't it, Keith?
Yeah.
Keith's looking at me like, yeah, just stop while you're ahead.
I'm just waiting for you to show up at the airport one of these days.
Well, in October, we'll all have to come over, and we'll fly over to Tampa and have a big old time. Now, all of them are going to be structured kind of the same way, but they might have some, you know, local flavor.
Sure.
Just like you said, that the weather thing. I don't know. What's in Tampa? Do we know? Other than the ocean? You can do some ocean flying.
Well, we do have that. We're going to do some international operations, thinking maybe some people want to go to, like, to the Bahamas or further down the Caribbean, and we're going to do some open water survival courses. At Tampa as well.
I bet I could excel in such activities because of diving background. I could save Keith because he doesn't know
how to teach one of those courses.
You don't even know how to swim.
I used to teach one of those courses.
See, I could help him.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Scott Fitzgerald. You probably don't recognize me because I'm in corporate.
So am I. This is corporate.
Little too much so, if you ask me. I try to have fun, right? I mean, you know, we're not landing planes here.
Our company manufactures aircraft landing gear systems.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, I am going to fly us over a few more drinks.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes take off.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis. All right, so Keith, seriously, you were teaching a water survival course in an airplane, and you don't know how to swim. I wasn't really joking about that, because I wanted to teach you how to dive, but I said you have to learn how to swim first, because you told me you've never learned how to swim.
That is correct. I never have.
But you're teaching people how to survive a water crash or landing or something?
That is correct.
Doesn't that involve some element of swimming? Or should it?
Well, it does involve being in the water.
Yeah.
However, I did have a life jacket on.
Okay.
Because I would demonstrate what the life jacket will do in the water.
Float you.
Right. And then I would demonstrate how to set up the raft and how to get in the raft and give each one of them specific jobs that they had to do once they got inside.
Wait, which is okay. When you get in the water, just don't die. Is that what you told them? Is that what the...
No, it's just kind of a fake it till you make it thing. And,
okay. So you don't know how to swim, but you know how to float.
I know how to...
With a PFD.
With a PFD, I do.
Okay. All right. I guess that counts.
And so nobody that I taught, and I taught numerous classes, ever knew that I didn't know how to swim.
Yeah, you think you would have maybe lost a student or two?
Maybe.
Yeah, we're going to teach you how to survive water landings and what to do when you get in the water. Oh, yeah, sure. Instructor, he knows it all. I don't know. Would you lose a little confidence in him, Dennis, if you had found that out right before you were jumping in the water? Oh, by the way, I don't know how to swim.
Not a good time.
I don't know how to swim, so whatever you do, don't drown. Because you're going to die, okay?
Wouldn't have been the clue, though, when he had the little rubber ducky life preserver on and some water wings as he's
trying to teach little floaties.
Oh, see, that's just people. Anybody who knows me knows that I just like to goof around a lot.
They write that off. Oh, he's such a wacky funster.
Yeah.
Him and his floaties. Mm-hmm. He's just being silly.
See, Dennis, fake it till you make
so
it, man.
So cute.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, learn how to swim. I think it would be good for that training.
You keep telling me that you'll do that.
I will. You got to learn how to swim first. You know, you're just as bad as me not getting my flight certificate as far as you swimming. So there, we're even. In your face. Right?
Well, you're right.
See? I should get no more grief from you ever from this point.
Oh, you'll get no less.
Well, I'm sure that is true. You learn how to swim, I'll learn how to fly. I think that's a fair trade.
Well,
because if you learn how to swim, I'll teach you how to scuba dive.
I think that we could
make
a bet on this, and I think I would definitely win. I know we did that once before.
What a bet? Like how? What do you mean? Like
no,
the first person?
I'm not putting any money on it.
That if I learn how to swim, you'll learn how to fly. And I bet I can get that finished first.
You think so? Well,
I can guarantee you.
I know. What is the threshold of you knowing how to swim? Just jumping in the water and not dying?
How many laps in the pool do we have to
Yeah, how many laps in the pool do I have to
do? Well, if you want to compare that to flying an airplane, I say he'd have to swim at least like 100 laps in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Wouldn't you agree, Dennis?
Greg, I think that's comparable. You could swim 100 laps in an Olympic pool.
Well, we're not talking about me. We're talking about him.
Wait a minute. This show's about you.
Well, yeah, but not learning how to swim.
All right, I have to the deal will be that I have to do what is required for certification for diving.
Okay, well, that would be a 200-yard swim.
No, it's not.
It is, too. Isn't it, Dennis?
Not required for your open water. I think that's only required if you're going to get a dive master that you have to do.
No, that is not accurate. I am a dive instructor. How dare you question my authority? It is a
200-yard swim. And then what? Anything else?
Well, you have to be able to swim nonstop 200 yards.
Tread water. Isn't there a tread water?
Tread water for 10 minutes, out touching the bottom. You got to go 200 yards without stopping. There's no stopping at the end of the pools and that kind of stuff. Any stroke you can swim, freestyle, backstroke, you can float, you can do the little doggy paddle thing. It doesn't really matter, but you have to go 200 yards without stopping.
All right, you're on.
Really? You're going to
I'll
this?
Do it.
Okay. All right.
We need video of this, though.
We'll put it right up there with my my tent setup video. How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
There we go. You can come video it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just know I'm a glamper. That'll tell you everything you need to know about that camping video. Me setting up the tent. All right. Enough nonsense. Let's talk about some other nonsense. I want to talk about this electric flyer in just a bit, but I guess let's do this viewer mail and get this out of the way, because we get a few of these every now and then, and this is from a guy named Bob. He was listening to the show last week, I believe it was, and he goes, where you guys got into politics, and the co-host started blaming the media for Trump shutting down airports and reporting it. The fact is, Trump's probably taken more vacation days in his seven months in office than Obama did in 4 years. Please stay away from politics. I want to hear about aviation, not the fake president we now have and is now being picked on. All right. Well, look, it's almost impossible not to talk about politics, especially with this ATC stuff. But we love all people. Whether you love Trump or hate Trump, I really don't care. That's really not the point. What we were talking about before with the vacation days was, I know I brought up the question of, is it being reported more that he is having effects on cities like Mar-a-Lago or in West Palm Beach and the aviation? And the mainstream media seems to be talking about it a lot more than what we saw with Obama when he was doing the same thing on campaign runs, vacation, whatever. But you didn't really hear about it that much in the mainstream media. That was my point. And then I think, Keith, you said something. Yes, that's the reason. It's because the media hates him. And, I can understand, Bob not being happy about that. As far as vacation days, it depends on what you read. I mean, he just had
It also depends on what your view of a vacation is.
Yeah, if you're talking about how many days he's went golfing compared to Obama, okay, there's some disparaging numbers there. But, he just did this working vacation, or they called it a working vacation. Does it count as vacation when he goes to Mar-a-Lago? Well, his campaign people say no, because he's working just like he was working on his vacation. So, it's one half dozen of the other. It really doesn't matter about the amount of days. My point was just, was the media talking about that more than it was with Obama? And I brought it back to home because President Obama was flying to Orlando quite a bit throughout his presidency, and it was affecting you guys at the flight school. And it was shutting down the Orlando airspace every time he came. You wouldn't hear about that in the mainstream media. We'd hear about it maybe on the local news, a little blip.
Correct.
But you wouldn't hear about this being, oh, my gosh, Disney World airspace is shut down because President Obama, it's on the 6 o'clock news. We weren't getting that kind of coverage. That was what we were talking about, Bob. So don't get too freaked out, man. We can all get along. We can talk a little bit about politics without, whether you like them or hate them. Fair? Did I cover that fair enough?
I think you covered it,
Dennis,
fair and balanced.
What do you think, Dennis?
I think it's fair.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that. I'm sure Bob doesn't think it was, but I just wanted to, you know, throw it out there. And we love you anyway, Bob, whether you like us or hate us. Just keep listening. That's all that matters, right? All right. Now, let's get to this flyer. So there's a press release putting out about the Sunflyer, and we've talked about this before, a two-seat, all-electric airplane, like the Tesla in the sky. And they say this is going to be the future of aviation training. Keith, what say you? Do you think this could be?
You know, as fast as batteries are being
developed.
And,
yeah, evolving. Yeah.
Evolving. If they can come up with a way of replacing the battery pack every 2 hours rapidly.
Solar, man. I mean, that's what I think. And doesn't the Sunflyer work? It has solar panels on the wings.
I don't think they're going to provide any appreciable amount of recharge in between flights, though.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem because, you know, they will typically solar panels right now, as far as I know, at this particular point, like on your house, and there's a lot of solar panels here in Florida because of all the sun, it will only provide a very small portion of your electric because what it does is it's going to store it up for you. But it takes a long time for that to work.
Well,
they
got
to develop the solar panels a little bit more so it can be more efficient.
Okay.
I just don't think there's enough efficiency in the solar panels yet to be able to fly an airplane.
We're looking
for 2 hours.
The future. What does the future hold?
I think in the future, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Increase altitude. Stall.
You can always go around. If it don't look right, coming down. Don't wait until you're sliding, sliding on the ground. You can always.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith, and Dennis rounding out the crew right now. All right, a little update on Dennis. So I believe it was last week we were talking about your little incident where your mixture knob came off in your hand when you were trying to pull it. And
My checklist, and, you know, said pull the mixture cutoff. So yeah. It did.
And then it came off in your hand. You were like, right. No! And that wasn't ideal. But no. So what has happened since, Dennis? Let's like,
so
tell everyone.
I was able to get a whole new mixture assembly from Mooney.
Okay.
Had it shipped to my local A&P here on the field.
Right.
And coincidentally, we had already had the airplane scheduled to go in for an oil change on Friday anyway.
Okay.
So
that was
we just added a little extra work to the order and wound up installing a new mixture cable. And wow, what a difference.
Well,
it is
well,
so
what do you
smooth.
Mean? Oh, it's much smoother now, and it doesn't come off in your hand.
Well, no, it stays in the panel where it's supposed to. It cuts
it
off.
It stays
the
in the panel
like
and not in your
to.
Hands.
You're right.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But the one thing we noticed, though, on the first flight afterward was our engine temperatures. When we would actually twist the knob to make the fine adjustments, you could actually watch the EGT gauge rising in. Before it didn't do that, it would always kind of like sit on the bottom and then sometimes it would jump up. So we weren't sure if it was just the gauge. Maybe the whole problem was that that mixture knob had been, you know, kind of failing already. And when we were doing the fine adjustments, it really wasn't doing anything.
Uh-huh. Well,
so it's definitely better and I'm happy for it. I just wish it didn't happen and run up a several hundred dollar parts and repair bill.
Yeah, well, you got it fixed.
Welcome to airplane.
Welcome
ownership.
To Aviation 101. Yep.
Yeah, but
it's
at least
only
it,
airplane bucks.
It didn't happen in the air. It happened when you're trying to shut the plane
right.
down. If that would have happened in the air, that would have freaked me out. Have you had parts of the airplane come off in your hand when you're flying around in an airplane there, Keith?
I cannot say that I have.
You've never had that happen, really?
Not that.
Hmm.
It's something we try to avoid, right?
I would imagine, yes. I would think I'd be pretty unnerving if it did. Have you ever heard of anyone having that happen in the air like that?
Dennis?
I've heard of it.
Well, it wasn't in the air.
It wasn't in the air.
See, I have
heard of that happen.
Yeah, I have that image in my mind that you pull back on one of the yokes and it just pulls right out of the console. Like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? Oh, nuts.
I did that to a friend of mine years ago while he was driving his car. I knew that the center bolt that held the steering wheel on was very loose.
So you just popped it?
And so he's driving down the road, or I was actually driving down the road, and I popped it off and I handed it to him.
Okay. I'm hoping
it sounds like a throwover yoke on a Bonanza.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to assume you weren't moving at the time.
Yes, we were.
You were moving.
But, you know, you do things when you're kids that, you know, you probably shouldn't do, and that was one of them. Yeah.
Well, the yoke thing, I mean, I could see that happen because we have two of them. You know, so if it pulled one, well, at least you got the other one. Okay, here, run it from this one here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
it was fun. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I digress.
Let's hope that never happens to anyone. But it's fun to talk about, especially if it happens to someone else.
Well, and now that it has happened, you know, I did a lot of research on, you know, getting the right parts and whatnot, and I found a little note from the manufacturer of the new cable that they actually recommend replacing the cables with every engine change. They claim that a 2,000 hour service life. So, you know, it's not something that's called out in the Mooney service manuals or anything like that, that you should replace them, but it's definitely something to consider, is to take that into account when you're replacing the engine.
Is that
you might also want to maybe replace your cables.
Well, that would make sense. Now, there is some other engine news. Was it Continental?
Lycoming.
So what's the story with them?
Well, Lycoming came out with a mandatory service bulletin, which is something that has to be done, and usually with a very specific time frame. And in this particular one was 10 hours of flight time, that you had to get the connecting rod bearing checked for specific engines and specific parts.
Okay.
And so...
Why? What could happen? Do we know? All bad.
Come apart.
The whole engine could come apart?
Well, not the whole engine, but the connecting rods could come loose because the ends were too small.
Mm.
And so they would wear and come apart in flight. And they actually did have a couple of engines that did come apart.
Okay.
Which is why the mandatory service bulletin, which is now an AD. So not only new engines, but also air engines that had been rebuilt. So there's a whole list of them. When you have a Lycoming engine, you get the AD, you get the service bulletin, go through it, and you got to see if you have
that. Is that a result of one of these latest incidents? Like, you know, we had a plane that landed on the highway the other day and caught on fire and all that stuff. Yeah.
One down at Flagler.
Well, his engine did quit.
Right.
But whether or not it was part of that deal, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but mandatory service bulletins are definitely something you need to get checked out right away.
But that is something that you should, if you're an owner of that, you would get that in the mail or something, right? Or do you have to?
Yes, you should get that in the mail.
Be like a recall on your car. They automatically know to send it to you.
Yes, they do.
You're hearing about it for the first time right here in Just Plain Radio. It's like, hey, I got a Lycoming engine. Well, go check it.
All Lycoming engines. It's not just like, say, 172s or 206s. It's all Lycoming engines. So
that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So there's a whole
Fortunately,
list of
the scope is listed is only airplane engines that are either new, rebuilt, or overhauled since, 2015? So
newer ones then. Okay.
I'm out of the window on that. Mine was overhauled back in 97, so I'm good.
Yeah, you got to read the service bulletin. Any of those mandatory service bulletins, you got to read them pretty carefully. Yeah. But
Dennis doesn't have to worry about things like that. Just, you know, the things like the throttle coming off in his hand.
Yeah,
technically, a mandatory service bulletin, I don't actually have to. Since I'm an owner-operator under Part 91, even though it's a mandatory service bulletin, it contains no regulatory force for me as an owner. However, it might be a really good idea for me to follow that. But now that the FAA has converted it to an airworthiness directive, now I do have to comply.
Yeah, just do it. You don't want to be that guy. It's like, they didn't tell me I had to.
And you wind up on the side of the highway somewhere. Not a good place to be.
Yeah, you're seeing them on TV. All right, on that note, we'll end it till next time. Remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.